It's Tuesday, November 17th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Haven't got a great show for you. Lots of cool new stuff to show those of you on Ustream, and lots to talk about. And if you're joining us, no matter what time you're listening to the show, thanks for being here. And you know what's next. Strap in. Oh, no. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go flat.
Microphone.
We're go flat.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go flat.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
Five.
Button, who's got the button?
Four.
There is no cause for alarm.
Three.
Everybody hold on to something.
Two.
Just press the button.
One.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to the Geek News Central podcast, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio overlooking Greater Oahu. And you guys all heard me say, oh, no, and what it was I went to click the audio intro and... it wasn't on the screen. And I had to scroll up real quick to find it. So that was funny. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the show. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. I want to make sure you get over to geeknewscentral.com. Check out the great content over at the website. And really, comment on our articles over there. We've got a great cadre of writers. They're putting out a lot of great content. Of course, the podcast is produced twice a week. Every Tuesday and Friday, the show comes out. I record the show Monday and Thursday night on Ustream. For those of you that are late enough to join me at the late hour in which I normally record. Of course, I want to welcome all of the Ohana to the show. Thanks for hanging out, being part of the family. And, of course, for staying subscribed to the show. I want to welcome listeners from 160 countries worldwide. It is my pleasure to bring you this show, and I hope that you'll share this information that you get about the show with your friends and people that you know and turn them on to the podcast as well. Hey, if you're new to the show, sign up for the newsletter. That'll get you tied into our network. And really, what happens there on that newsletter is I send out twice a week the show notes of the show, basically everything I talk about during the show, including any commentary that I get from listeners, stuff that's been submitted via email. And of course, you can do that easily, and we'll give you some information here in a minute on how you can submit stuff to the show. But get signed up for that newsletter. It's not a talking newsletter. It's just, I mean by talking, it's not a discussion forum where you're going to get a bunch of mail. It's just, again, two emails a week, funny talking email. And anyway, that's a great way for you to get connected. Of course, subscribe to the show via the RSS feed on the website, via iTunes, Zoom Marketplace, whichever way you may be consuming the show. I'm a little off kilter because there's been an equipment change here at the Geek News Central podcast. And little do you know, there's been a lot of change since the last show. Got the light situation under control, and I said, okay, what's next? Well, I really was kind of forced into what next because Saturday I came into the office and sat down and turned on my monitor, and lo and behold, the computer wasn't alive. I said, that's funny, and I reached down to turn it on, and my PC, that's been my working PC for a long time, decided it was going to go to computer heaven. And it really came at a bad time. I had no time to be putting a new computer in. I just kind of sat here and was dumbfounded. Everything, you know, it's been a workhorse for a long, long time. It's an XP machine. I probably have had it, probably used it since we started the show. And that's really 4 or 5 years ago, right? So really, I was due for a hardware upgrade anyway. The machine was just like a Pentium machine with no core, it was just a single core machine. And, you know, I pushed it pretty hard. So I had to have something. And here in Hawaii, when you need something at a short notice, it's not a good thing. It really, really isn't. So I drove around Saturday and went to Best Buy. I went to several of the local computer shops, and everything they had there was priced crazily. and used my Navy exchange privileges as being a retired military person. I went over to the base exchange, walked in there. There's a machine they have sitting there, priced right, specs I want. So, yep, loaded it in the cart and brought it home. So now the main production machine is now a Windows 7 dual core machine. And I'm going to tell you, I don't hear the racing of a fan. The machine is not lagging. I've got 25 or 30 tabs open in Chrome with four or five other programs loaded, and the machine's not even breathing hard. And wow, what a difference. And move up into modern technology on my own. But with it, I've added a monitor. I've rearranged the studio here. For those of you that are actually on Ustream, you'll see now that over here we've got two monitors where there was originally one. So essentially the audio recording is going on. The TriCaster has moved over. I've decided I've been using the TriCaster long enough that I can wean myself from the looking at the monitor all the time. Monitor number two is a kind of a cool monitor because not only does it show that, I can actually bring it right into your screen. And I think that's the coolest part is I can actually bring in actual screen captures. And I think this is going to be a welcome addition to the show. The only thing that I'm having challenges with and what I've got up right now is the Podcast Awards website in the actual browser there is that on XP, I could very easily run two monitors, have them duplicated. In other words, have the exact same thing being shown on one as the other, and then move into the actual what I'm trying to say is have two monitors with exactly the same thing on them, and then the second monitor actually being whatever size I wanted it to be, so I could really make it small. In order to put that a screen on the TriCaster, I need to have it about 1024 by 768 or maybe even 800 by 600 so that it will actually look decent on the graphics on your side. So what has happened is with Windows 7, if I try to do a dual screen where everything is duplicated from one screen to the other, it requires at least the drivers that are on my machine right now requires the screen resolutions to be the same size, and it's driving me crazy. So I got to figure a way around that so that I can keep the main machine up at 1900 by whatever I've got it, and then the secondary screen, which is going to show you guys the links and stuff that I want to send you to when we're doing a show. You guys can actually see some of the stuff I'm covering. It'll actually bring it up on the screen, and you guys won't have to look at my ugly mug. So that's the plan if I can get it to work. And right now I haven't been able to get it to work with Windows 7. But there's another computer monitor at least in the – my wife walked in here and she goes, you have got to be kidding me. So she's counting one, two, three, four main monitors for the show, one for the audio recording, one for the TriCaster control, one what's going to be duplicated up on the video stream, my processing machine, one to monitor the downstream. That's on a separate computer, plus – the Mac that's sitting over here kind of running. Yes, it's a little bit crazy, but it is what it is. And as I talked about in the last show, I wanted to upgrade to a 1 gig network in order to run this program called IVGA that comes from NewTek. I had to have a 1 gig network between the machine that is basically serves as my mission control when I'm going through and talking about content. Talking to the TriCaster had to be on a 1 gig network. So basically what I've got is I've got one, two, three machines on a 1 gig network, and then everything else reverts back to the 100 meg router where I don't need the high speed. But I did put in a 1 gig switch as well, which really moving the 16 gig video file, the raw video file that's recorded on the TriCaster at night to the other machine, it's zoom. It just comes over really, really quick. So again, a little more change to the studio. I'll do a dedicated show at some point here in the future where it's just a separate kind of a ad lib thing on exactly what the configuration is here. It's getting a little out of hand, but I'm almost at the point where I like what it's doing. Got a couple more steps, but we'll get on there. Okay, Podcast Awards, things are going cruising there. Man, oh man, traffic is just like unbelievable. Huge amount of votes coming in. Matter of fact, we've had some complaints from some of the actual voters saying, hey, my email confirmation didn't come through. What am I to do? And we're guaranteeing everyone their votes are going to get counted. But people are getting a little overzealous. Some people are trying to vote 3-4 times a day, and that's being recorded. And those votes, except for their one initial votes being thrown out. And folks on Hotmail, for some reason, are not getting confirmation emails. They must think we're spammers or something. But when we're sending, I think in 1 hour, we send 11,000 emails. And when you start pushing that kind of volume from an IP that hasn't pushed huge volumes of email in the recent past, I mean, just so easily you can get flagged as a spammer. And even though the machine's set up to do 250-some thousand emails a day, that's what we're allowed to send through that machine, it raises some red flags in places. Nothing we really can do about it. It is what it is, but we're guaranteed we'll get everybody's votes counted and make sure there isn't issues at the end. But anyway, keep on voting. Things are cool over there. Saw the news today out about Wizard Media, and boy, every time I see any company that comes out has discussions about their financial status. Of course, Wizard being a public company, they've announced their third quarter earnings, and you know, again, it's they're sadly bleeding red over there. I'm hoping that they're able to turn the company around and get some cash influx going in there. But boy, oh boy, it's just another, you know, this economy. We can't afford to lose another podcasting company. I'm hoping that you guys will do everything you can to support the folks over there. We want to see them continue to grow and have success. And you know, competition's good in the new media space, and I'm hoping, you know, with it, all of us can battle it out in 10 years or 5 years, and we'll worry about then. But now we want to make sure that these companies do the best they can in the initial, initial time here. So we'll see what happens with Wizard, but we got our fingers crossed for them. And I, you know, rest, Chris over there, the best of luck in Q4. What else have I got going on? Hey, you know something? Can I ask you guys a question? And this is serious. I got I can't divulge very much, but I got an email from a company that wants me to do some paid Twittering in and around Thanksgiving timeframe. And I'm looking at the campaign stuff, and some of it's okay, but some of it I'm not 100% okay. And I just really, and I'm thinking about that, man, that, you know, I build up a lot of trust on my Twitter feed. It's tempting to take the advertising, but boy, oh boy, I think it would be, I just don't know if it's right for me. And I'm going to email the campaign manager for that back tomorrow and say, hey, you know, why don't we consider doing this a different way? And get some suggestions. But I think the company is set on really trying to reach people through Twitter. And I don't know if I'm up to selling essentially my Twitter account for advertising. So what's your guys' feel about that? Do you guys immediately unsubscribe from somebody you think is trying to, you know, advertise to you on Twitter? Or if it's a well-meant Twitter post that's sincere, if it's a product that I can get behind, would it be okay? I don't know. I think I know what the answer already is going to be. But boy, I tell you, at this point, I'm leaning about 90% against doing it. Even though the money would be great, I just think that it's probably something I should walk away from. But what do you guys think about that? And, you know, I'd love to hear your comments about anything tonight, of course. geeknews@gmail.com. geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1 619-342-7365. All right, let me look through the list here of stuff. A little rough start tonight, but I think we're going to smooth out here okay and be just fine. Hey, let's take a few moments here and give a shout out to the sponsors. You guys know where the bread is buttered here. GoDaddy.com. They take care of me. I want them to take care of you. And really, I stand behind their products. All of Geek News Central's websites, 95% of Raw Voices websites all run on GoDaddy servers. Lots of domains. I think I've got 200-plus domains registered over there, SSL certificates, you name it. When it comes to an online product, they are my main company that I go to. And they're ones I trust, stand behind, and in fully 100% indoors. So, you know, what are you guys looking for? Are you looking for a hosting product? Are you looking for a domain name? Looking for an SSL certificate? Whatever it may be, when you get to GoDaddy.com, pick out the products that you need. You know, go through their shopping cart. And when you get to the checkout counter, don't forget me, because promo code Todd will save you 10% on non-domain orders. Geek5 will save you 15%. Todd20 will save you 20% on one-year shared hosting accounts. ComSale will save you money on .coms and renewals. Now, as a reminder, if you try to use one of my promo codes in conjunction with another deal, they won't work, okay? So sometimes you may have to back out completely. Let's say you're getting 10% off and I've got a 15% code. Sometimes you may have to remove everything from your shopping cart if you've come in via a link from another site where you've seen an ad or something. So, you know, always come to Geek News Central first. Click on one of the GoDaddy banners. That'll get you into their system underneath my referral codes. And you shouldn't have a problem having stuff tied to another promotion they have. And by all means, if they give you a better discount, then let me know, of course. But, you know, whatever it takes, it's fine. So, again, GoDaddy.com, thanks for them for being a continued sponsor here. My daughter just walked in the office. She's sneaking in for some reason. She's getting something out of her. We've got a little clutch in here that's got pens and markers and that kind of stuff. So she does not want to be on video, but she's crashing stuff around. All right, hey, GoToMeeting. I want to take a moment and tell you about some very cool features in GoToMeeting. Start meetings with one click. GoToMeeting is available for the Mac. You can instantly change presenters from you to someone else. True 24-bit color. There's a chat function. Recording and playback. Yeah, you can record your sessions. Automatically integrates into Microsoft Outlook. There are the coolest drawing tools, and if you do nothing else, you can do like me and just squiggle on the page. It includes phone conferencing and voice IP, all under one package. As a listener of this show, you can get a you can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Hey, get out there and give it a try. That's a month of unlimited online meetings free. For the special offer, you must visit www.gotomeeting.com/techpodcast. That's gotomeeting.com/techpodcast for a free trial. Okay, let's go ahead and get into the regular content tonight. That's what you all came for. Okay, first article of tonight is from Business Week. It's talking about video conferencing. It's a good article here talking about how Cisco, Logitech are targeting the mainstream. Apparently, these companies are snapping up video conferencing companies in a way to really lock themselves in as being the business leaders in this actual category. And I don't know if this is going to do them any good, because let's think about this for a second. You know, we're already doing Skype. Whenever I have a Skype call, I come up on video. People that I talk to that are on Skype, which, you know, I do a lot of Skype calls. You know, we can see each other talking back and forth. So that video conferencing is there. It's free. I'm using my existing infrastructure. I noticed that when I installed Windows 7, that Logitech tried to add some video conferencing software automatically. I didn't use it because I wasn't familiar with it. But it appears that really here overnight, Cisco and both Logitech are trying to, you know, get into a bunch of deals to buy up video conferencing companies. And I guess it makes sense for Logitech. You know, they've got a huge percentage of the market of webcams. So it just makes a... You know, makes a lot of sense for them to move into this. But you know, I still think that a large majority of people are probably already using Skype. And I don't know how they're going to pay for these purchases, because some of them are huge. I think that Cisco paid $3.4 billion for Tannenberg. And that how much did Logitech pay? I guess they paid $405 million for LifeSize Communications. They do a high-end definition video conferencing gear. And, of course, Polycom. Many of us are probably familiar with Polycom out there. They're a company that we all know about. They have a lot of products right now that are more slated towards audio conferencing. But they have some video conferencing gear anyway. So kind of cool to see what's going on here with in this marketplace and video conferencing. Where do you guys think this is going? Do you guys think it's going to change at all? Or are we going to be, you know, most of it's going to be using Skype? or are most of us going to move into more of these business applications for the conference? What are you seeing at your work and what they're doing? So I'd love to hear comments, geeknews@gmail.com. Hey, big news out of Google. Google has scooped up ex-Microsofty Don Dodge. As we reported in a previous show, Microsoft has let Don go, and he was one of their biggest evangelists. He was director of business development, and he's well-respected in the startup community. You know, he tirelessly defended Microsoft at conferences and to developers. And most people are shocked seeing being laid off by Microsoft, but the folks over there had picked him up at Google, and he's going to be Google's going to hire him after a single interview, which is huge. He's going to be evangelizing Google technologies and platforms instead of Microsoft. So Google's gain, Microsoft's loss. Hey, out on the CNET website, there's a some Senate hearings that went on. And Thursday could turn out to be a pretty embarrassing day for a number of online retailers. How many of you have seen charges on your credit cards from so-called loyalty companies like WebLoyalty, Affinion, Vertru, that's V-E-R-T-R-U, Vertru. These are companies that make cash back and give coupon offers to consumers. Well, many of you have seen monthly charges to enroll in these programs, and you say, hey, I never enrolled. I was just forced into it. And it was after you made online purchases or, you know, picked up airline tickets, maybe you got something at classmates.com. In August, the government's investigation was fully underway, and they've developed some reports here that they're going to announce these results as a result of public comments and a six-month investigation. So we'll see what happens with this announcement, but looks like a few companies are going to get egg on their face here in the next few days. Hey, one thing I'm doing here on the show tonight is I'm actually rolling in web pages to the Ustream users, and it's being a little bit challenging to do, and I'm trying to stay focused. I see where my new layout has got to be modified once more. But we'll get this all worked through in time. Hey, let me go ahead and move on to the next article here. Two articles, one by Computer World and one by the New York Times, all talking about us, the consumer, paying for online news. The New York Times is reporting about half in the United States would pay for online news, and this was a study done by the Boston Consulting Group. Whereas the Computer World study that was actually quoted from a Forrester is saying most won't pay for newspaper magazines or online content. It says the 4,700 U.S. consumers who were polled by Forrester Research said 80% indicated they were unwilling to pay for access to newspapers and magazines. Whereas the New York Times article, 48% said in the survey conducted in October by Boston Consulting that they would pay to read news. Kind of interesting, 48 and 80, that's a big delta there. Two different polling firms and two different media source reporting. And obviously the New York Times wants it to have a positive spin because they want to go behind a paywall. I don't know what Computer World wants to do, but I think I trust the Forrester Research information more than I would the New York Times content. Hey, bad news for Microsoft. Actually, not Microsoft themselves, but Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen. It's been announced today that he has been diagnosed with lymphoma. The 56-year-old Allen was diagnosed with diffuse large B-cell lymphoma earlier this month. And this was according to a letter sent by his sister to employees of his investment company. And Allen had left Microsoft in 83 after being diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. And this is sad news, of course, for the Allen family. I'm sure he'll come through this okay. I don't know how serious this type of lymphoma is, but we wish the family, of course, Paul, a speedy recovery. All right, Microsoft issued an advisor on Windows 7 security. It's not super big, but they're concerned about a new zero-day vulnerability. It's affecting folks that are on using Windows 7 connected directly to the internet. Could cause your machine to kind of go into denial-of-service attack. Basically, the threat actually kind of just shuts your machine down from utilization. People can't get access to it. but they do this through some exploits on port 139 and port 445. Hopefully Microsoft will have a patch for this shortly. Hey, over on the Reuters website, the folks at New Oxford American Dictionary has indicated that unfriend, yes, the word unfriend is really a word now. It's been named the word of the year, and it's chosen from a list of finalists with a tech-savvy bent. As you know, podcast, I believe, was the word of the year for 2005 by the folks at New Oxford American Dictionary. But this year is unfriend, and unfriend has been defined as a verb that means to remove someone as a friend on a social networking site such as Facebook. And I think we all probably knew that already, but it's the word of 2009. Hey, Twitter on their preferred user list. In other words, when you sign up for Twitter, you're presented a list of maybe 50 people to automatically add to your Twitter follow list. After some complaints from political people, Twitter has essentially announced that the company is going to overhaul its suggested user list, which links Twitter users with a pool of about 500 celebrities, sports figures, and politicians that they may want to follow. They say that list will be going away and instead will be something that is more pragmatically chosen, something that will actually deliver more relevant suggestions. And this was after big complaints by some, I don't know which party, one of the two parties was complaining that only one party's candidates were on the list and that they were being ignored. And obviously that was, for a site that wants to be nonpartisan, you'd probably better have both parties' candidates listed in that referral list. Otherwise, you're going to upset one or the other, political groups and their followers. So, interesting developments there on Twitter. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Black Friday. Article over on PC World. Here's some information for you. Walmart's going to be open 24 hours a day. The deals are going to open at start at 5 a.m. on Black Friday. So if you're looking to get in Walmart and shop early, don't worry. The store will be open, and you'll be able to be in the store before the 5 a.m. Price markdown. And that's largely because they didn't want to have another repeat of last year's trampling of people that went into the store. There's also being advertised, of course, on a variety of different outlets that there's going to be $299 laptops and $99 Blu-ray disc. There's going to be $3 appliances at Target by ChefMate. There's going to be lots of twittering by people on social networks and trying to, lead people into different places. And we kind of talked about some of that earlier in the show and what I had been not too many details anyway, but what I'd been approached to do during the holidays, which I think I'm going to turn down. But with that, there's a great Black Friday's going to be a great day to get deals on TVs. And be careful, though. A bunch of those TVs are probably closeout deals. And, of course, there's going to be lots of sales going on. We're going to talk a little bit about some Mac sales a little later on Black Friday. But there's already Black Friday-style specials going on in a lot of stores. So if you're looking for stuff, keep your eyes peeled on the Sunday flyers and, of course, what's being advertised online. Lots of good deals. They're trying to get your money early, folks. All right, Apple has posted Snow Leopard printer driver updates. So if you're looking for driver updates for Snow Leopard, they're available online now. I have a link up to it in the show notes. Updates for Canon, Brother, HP, and Lexmark. Hey, let's talk about SSL attacks. Secure socket layer. In other words, that's the when you go to a website that requires you put HTTPS in and you go to a banking site or someplace to log in somewhere, there's been, in recent days, been a way where there has been a way to exploit that. And there's a vulnerability here where they're trying to figure out how to fix. And sadly, the exploit has been demonstrated on a Twitter account. And also, the description of the vulnerability is on securegoose.org. So see what happens here. I'm sure all the bad guys are going to be rushing to do this. So we'll see if there's a rush to get this fixed. And I don't know what this really means for all of us, but be careful out there when you're doing stuff online in a secure environment. Hey, talk about super core computers. The goal right now is to have 100 million core supercomputer by 2018. It's an article run /dot. And that's the next performance goal. It's an EXA scale system. Today's supercomputers are really short of that scale. I think they're saying here that the fastest computer today is at Oak Ridge National Laboratory, and it has equivalent of 224,000 processing cores. So that's a long ways away from a 100 million core supercomputer by 2018. So what do they want to do with a 100 million core supercomputer? They want to be able to do modeling for high-scale climate models, bioenergy products, and smart grid development. And there's some projects underway in France to really get there, and we'll see what happens. But there's some things that go well beyond Moore's Law to get to 100 million core supercomputer. I'm pretty happy to have four cores on, or eight cores on this machine and 16 cores on my Mac Pro. That's pretty cool. Yes, I know. I'm finally catching up and getting current. Hey, we've all heard that freecreditreport.com song, right? You know, I thought I was a pirate and, you know, should have been watching my credit or whatever that advertisement is. Well, freecreditreport.com is one in injunction. Essentially, they have gotten 1,000 domain names back in a dispute process. And this is big. So I don't know what domains they got back, but they disputed 1,017 of them and were able to get them all resolved back to them in a single dispute. Apparently by some sort of software that identified the domains. And the USTPO had granted freecreditreport.com a trademark on that name. And thus, the most domains include those words could be turned over and apparently were. I don't know if freecreditreportsucks.com was one of them or not. And not that I think freecreditreportsucks.com is a good domain. You know, a lot of those sites are out there to make sure that, you know, there's some truth to companies' different types of products and services. Not that I know if Free Credit Report's a good or bad firm, but we'll see what kind of domains they actually were able to acquire. Hey, just imagine this. You know, we talked about that the MPAA shutting down the Wi-Fi in a local community in Ohio. Well, MPAA and Sony have realized that shutting down the Muni Wi-Fi was really a bad idea. Sony has reached out to the town and asked them to turn the Wi-Fi back on, imagine that, while so claiming that they would help the town set up tools to block things from happening in the future. Why were they able to get the town to shut it off in the first place is my question. And they probably wouldn't have got as much bad press, but obviously, everyone reacted to the story. First of all, they should not have been allowed to shut this town down. Completely unfair, and you know, just goes par for the course. So at least they've had a turn of heart. But anytime you almost say Sony, almost want to puh, doesn't taste good, right? Oh, man. Okay, let me go ahead and move on to the next article. This was over on techdirt.com, by the way. All right, imagine you're a web developer at American Airlines, and you decide to respond to some criticism from a customer about the layout of the American Airlines website. Okay, the customers come there, said, oh, man, I can't cruise your site because I'm having problems here, here, and here. And the employee at American Airlines responds and basically says, you know, it's hard to have a good balance, blah, blah, blah. We're making some improvements in this area, in this area, in this area. And, you know, the American Airlines employee tried to have a reasonable response. Well, American didn't think that he should have responded at all and fired the developer. So this is it's an interesting development. Here you have a guy that tried to do good and tried to make a responsible response. But yet the hierarchy at American Airlines fired the employee. Now, what does this say about American Airlines? It makes me really think if I want to do business with them, if they're going to treat their employees that way. Now, if that employee had an explicit contract, basically in his contract, it says you shall not talk to the public, well, maybe that was a different story. But at the same point, you know, they could have reprimanded him. They didn't have to go to such lengths. But it makes me really wonder if American Airlines really appreciates people's opinions you know, this guy walked away. Wow, they responded. And now he's like, wow, they responded, but they fired him? Yeah, you can almost be guaranteed that individual will not fly American anymore. So what are you guys' comments? What do you guys think? Geeknews@gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. All right, space news. Atlantis left off on mission to the International Space Station carrying 27,500 pounds of spare supplies. This is a spare parts run. And I had to laugh, Dave, because when they did the launch, the one of the mission controllers says the space shuttle Atlantis is on a highway SDS-129 on a direct path to the International Space Station. I had to laugh. It was pretty cool how he said it. They're an 11-day mission. And essentially what they're going to be doing is just strapping stuff wherever they can onto the International Space Station. I guess they're bringing up so much stuff, they're just going to kind of stack it. They can't put this stuff inside, so they're going to, you know, be attaching it to trusses and, you know, slapping it on side with Velcro. And I guess it's just all kinds of ways that they're going to be holding this gear to the station. But, you know, with very few shuttle flights left, they got to get those spare parts up because we're going to be a long time before we can really lift any of those big, super big items into space. So it's kind of funny to watch the hear them talk about the flight today, especially how they're, and it's basically a spare parts run. So we'll see what happens here, but it looks like everything's going good for the crew, and they'll have a docking on Wednesday. Now, there's been a lot of business at the International Space Station because the Russian module docked at the International Station on Thursday of last week, 2 days after its launch from Kazakhstan, and this brought a service module to the aircraft to the International Space Station along with a Progress spacecraft. So it docked on the Zenith port of the Zvezda service module, and everything looks good there. Now, big news, of course, out of NASA on Friday. And if you had to have been like not have any internet turned on all weekend to not have heard this news already. But remember they crashed that LCROSS, the Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite into the into that crater. Well, NASA says they have found significant water deposits on the moon, and the scientists are just going crazy. The near infrared spectra contain the signature of water ice as well as other unidentified compounds. The amount of water was much greater than what had been detected in a lunar regolith. All right, someone. I'm going to have to Google that after the show. And it, but it's, they apparently think there was about 100 kilograms in the plume kicked up by the impact. 100 kilograms. That's a lot, if you think about it. But remember, this crater has not seen the sun, really in what, a million years or a billion years or whatever it may be, the number of years that they say that really this crater's been shadowed. So how deep would they have to go into the surface to find any other water? And then at what quantities? You know, but it does raise some interesting, it's very interesting developments for any future missions to the moon. Did I say Mars earlier? To the moon. So, okay. Anyway, let me go ahead and move on to the next article here. Let's talk a little bit, Mark, about Mark Cuban. He's got two things I want to talk share with him tonight. You guys remember that Madoff character, that scam artist, that Ponzi schemer who stole billions of dollars? Well, they've arrested the two programmers that work for him. And they're being investigated because I guess, you know, if you're going to steal a bunch of money, you got to be able to hide it in the spreadsheet somehow. So the two programmers that work for him are under arrest, and they're probably going to be going to the big house. And it's going to be interesting to see what happens here with them. So Mark Cuban predicted that this would happen back in January. He didn't know how Madoff was capable of essentially hiding all this money and doing the shuffling that he did without any programming support, because he felt that off-the-shelf software, accounting software, it would be impossible for all the numbers to balance, and even a small accounting firm would figure out something was up. So he had predicted in January, find the programmers who wrote the software and you'll find out how the whole thing works. So I think the feds are onto that. Along with this article, he goes on to talk about Google a little more and about the about News Corp and other groups that want to essentially no longer be listed in Google. And he says, hey, it's an easy thing. You know, you take $1 billion and you figure out what the top 10,000, excuse me, what the top 100,000 sites are, and you use that $1 billion to pay each one of those sites to add a robots text file in their website, you know, config files to block Google from indexing the website. And then you partner up with Yahoo or Microsoft and, you know, have your traffic listed over there exclusively, go into some, you know, some type of advertising special Benny's deals. He thinks for $1 billion that someone could bring Google to its knees by getting the top 100,000 websites to move away and no longer be listed in Google. Now, of course, you think about that. All right, what if you're the number 5,000th website that they contact to move? And you say, okay, I'm going to roll my dice and I'm going to stay on Google and hoping that the other 99,999 sites move or put robots text in. That makes me king of the hill. So, but he thinks that with $1 billion and with 100,000 sites adding robots.txt exclusions for Google, that they could bring Google to its knees. Now, I don't think it'll ever happen. But it's an interesting idea. He seems to think that it would take a lot of money to get the Microsofts of the world and different groups to do that. So a lot of that $1 billion would be tied up in paying some of the, you know, maybe the top 25 or 100 sites. And then the rest of the peons below that would just get, a few bucks on the dollar or a few dollars to stop being listed over there. I just don't think it's possible. I think this is a fantasy that he's going into. But I don't know. It looks to me like the latest couple of posts that Mark's got an issue with Google. And I don't know where that's coming from, but that's kind of what's being indicated here. All right. NVIDIA is introducing a Telsa 20 series GPUs. Now, you guys know that in recent years, there's been some very cool stuff done in supercomputing by doubling up high-end graphic cards. And this is some amazing stuff that a lot of people are doing. It's, you know, a lot of science is being done on a very low budget. It's really cheap in supercomputing terms. They're saying that these new 20 series GPUs, which are going to be, of course, mounted on a GPU PCI Express Gen 2 card, will run between $2,400 and $19,000. But, you know, you buy four of them, put them in a machine, high-end machine, and what you really have there is for under 100 grand, you've got yourself a supercomputer. And, you know, depending on what series of card you buy and et cetera, most of these cards that they're developing like this don't even have a video port on them. They're just a graphics card you stick in the machine, and it's just got a flat front face. It's not even used to drive graphics. It may process graphics inside and do lots of calculations, but that's about the extent of its, you know, what you would consider it to be its true usage as a graphics card. So pretty cool stuff on that front. Boy, I tell you, Verizon and AT&T are battling it out on commercials. And, of course, AT&T has filed a false advertising lawsuit. And as people are starting to analyze this closer, it just looks to me like AT&T is, the truth hurts, as Engadget says. The truth is in the numbers and the coverage maps. AT&T has done a great job in basically rolling out nationwide coverage. But its 3G network is really saturated around big city centers. And beyond that, the coverage is not that good. How many of you have an iPhone, 3G iPhone, and in your area, there's no 3G? And how does the 3G map that Verizon's been advertising compare to your coverage? And I know we've got listeners all across the country in small, big, and medium-sized towns. And I'd love to hear what your what your network speeds are. Are you still on edge? Do you even have edge connectivity where you're at? Or is there 3G? And what do you think about AT&T's battle here with Verizon? I think it's just calling AT&T out for what it is. I think it's, you know, AT&T is, while their 3G network is what it is, AT&T say that's you know, basically false because it's not showing our true high-speed network with the addition of Edge. So we'll see. But AT&T is still, you know, really busy promoting Edge, and that hasn't changed. So, but I'm sure many of you that listen to the show are on Edge. AT&T Edge. All right, Apple. Good article at Geek News Central, written by one of our writers over there, Susa Bell. Word has come out that Apple has applied for a patent for an enforcement routine that will force viewers like you and I, force us to actually watch an advertisement. It's not where we could opt out. It actually forces us to do so. The patent application indicates that the forced advertisement will freeze a device until you indicate that you've actually read or responded to the ad through the use of clicking a box or answering a test question. This technology would work on any device with a screen, including televisions, computers, media devices, cell phones. The ads can appear at any time while the device is being used. Any device that I get that has an advertisement enforcement routine on it is immediately going to be subjected to a hammer because I'm not going to put up with it. But I could see where they may sell a device that would be, you know, essentially advertising driven. Would you buy such a device that the only way you could use it is to watch ads? Hey, over on Gizmodo, we talked about the Apple deals on Black Friday. Apparently, they're going to offer, this is the rumor, up to 30% off all iPods, up to 25% off all Macs, up to 15% off all accessories on Apple software and Apple hardware. Apparently, this does not include an iPhone or the iPod Shuffle. So, if you're looking to save some money on Apple products, deals applicable on Friday, November 27th only. And it says select Apple stores will open at 6 a.m. How can they have select Apple stores? Select? Wouldn't you, if you're going to have a deal like this, wouldn't you open all your stores nationwide at 6 a.m.? Can't be select. All right. Apple iPhone developers, they have one more thing to deal with here. iPhone apps now have to be approved by robots. Apparently, what Apple is doing is that they are actually going to be scanning the apps when they're being submitted, and they're going to be looking for third-party API calls. So if you have a third-party API call or a private API call, your app is going to be rejected. Up to this point, that has not been the case. It's been, if you've been able to keep your private API call down underneath the radar, you weren't found. But if your app has gotten approved in the past, they're now searching that stuff out, and you won't be approved going forward. So, of course, the developers aren't happy because now it just adds another layer of review for the specific app. All right. As you all know, I've had some challenges of recent to keeping weight down, and my wife is... nicely and gently prodded me to make sure I'm eating better. And being traveling a lot, it's very difficult to really to eat well. And I found a website called specialgourmets.com. And I found this via researchbuzz.org. And this site lets you map hotels, restaurants, and other destinations that accommodate several different diets. Talks about... soy-free, egg-free, shellfish-free, basically points you in the right direction for restaurants that will support the specific diet you may be on, so you don't have to go searching around for it or have menu items that will support your diet. This is smart, you know, because there's many times that I wish I could eat well and yet really don't know where to go, especially when you're a city that you don't travel in very often. So, it's just you roll the dice when you go to a restaurant, and many times there's not time to search stuff out. So this may be a site that I'll be able to use on a more recurring basis. All right. How many of you just wonder what the odds were on something? Well, there's a new website called The Book of Odds at bookofodds.com. The site does just as it sounds. It gives you the odds. You can do a simple keyword search looking for odds or just looking for, what are the odds of, and then you write in your text, and if it finds an answer, it'll give it to you. So it'll give you a visual representation of the odds as well as a space for comments, and there's all kinds of weird stuff on this thing. So I think you'll have fun. You know, how many people under the age of 13 drink coffee? You know, it gives you an answer. So I had a funny thing happen to us last night. We went and saw 2012. How many of you have seen 2012? I don't take the family to the movies hardly ever. But, of course, this is one I wanted to go see. So I loaded them up. I must admit, the graphics in the beginning were 90% good, 10% cheesy. The plot was pretty predictable. Overall, pretty good movie. I was impressed with the, I better not spoil it. I can't if you haven't watched it. Very interesting movie. 2 hours and 38 minutes. Well worth the ticket price to go see it on a big screen. Because the beginning 30 to 45 minutes is big. You got to see it on a big screen. So pretty cool show. And I think that you'll enjoy it. But how it relates to this conversation on what are the odds, I was just talking about how many people drink coffee before they're 12. Well, my five-year-old on the way home, and I don't know where he got this, is he's like, Dad, because there was a lot of people that obviously were dying during the 2012 movie. And my son was like, Dad, why do people have to die? I said, well, Chris, people get older and, with time, people naturally die. And he's like, I want to drink coffee so I don't grow, so I don't get old. I want to drink coffee. When we get home, I want coffee. I'm like, huh? What do you mean? You know, you drink coffee, you don't grow. You know, your brain doesn't work right. And how he made this connection to coffee and stunting growth, and I'm still kind of dumbfounded. We haven't had a conversation about it yet, but it led from this movie to about people dying and me saying people get old to him saying I'm going to drink coffee so I don't grow. How that just tied into that article, I don't know how we got there, but we did. So all right. Scoble, I'm going to tell you, he's hitting on all cylinders. He's got a couple of cool articles here that I want you to read. And what is Twitter for? Well, of course, pimping your blog or your podcast. But Scoble has done something that I think is a good idea. Of course, Scoble's got, 100,000 people following him, so he can afford to have more than one Twitter account. But he's launched Scoble Blog, Scoble Media, and, of course, Building 43. Now, Scoble Blog is only for my blog. I won't put anything else in the feed, just be blog posts. Scoble Media is when he posts video or someone else's video. And Building 3 is for items that are posted on the Building 43 website. And, of course, he's going to have his normal Scoble Twitter name. Do you guys think that's a good idea for the average person to have 4 Twitter accounts? I don't know. Or 5? I don't know if that's a good idea or not. I got one for Podcast Awards. We have one for Raw Voice, Blueberry, but those all serve a specific purpose. I don't know if I could do Geek News, Geek News Blog, Geek News Media. I don't know if that would make sense. Would any of you follow 3 or 4 of my Twitter accounts? Geeknews at gmail.com, voicemail hotline, +1-619-342-7365. Hey, Scoble's got another article here, and I said he was hitting on all cylinders. The worst thing startups do. And I've seen this kind of an abbreviated list like this before. But one thing that I know that we definitely don't do at Raw Voice, have plush offices in the most expensive part of town. We don't even have an office. We all work in our own offices. You know, we have a virtual office. And believe me, it saves you a lot of money. We don't have a PR firm. We are our own PR firm. We don't fire fast enough. Well, when you're small, you don't have anybody to fire. And you have a too cool name and logo. Well, I don't think we have a too cool name, but we do have cool logos. So anyway, link will be up in the show notes. And I have another article here for you to read too. And this is probably the one I want you to read the most. And it's basically say, my world has changed and I get to share with you. And I'm not going to go into the details. Once you read it, you'll understand it. Again, another Scoble article. Three tonight. That's a record, I think, from any show that I've done. Three of his articles. They all hit home to me tonight. And if you're into translating stuff, I was actually testing this with my wife, doing English to Japanese translations, and she was shocked. She says, it's pretty good. It's pretty close. And I'm like, you mean I could write a letter to your mom and translate it, and she'd actually be able to read it? She says, I think so. She said, you know, there's a few things that are quirky, but she would get the idea. So this is pretty cool. 51 languages representing over 98% of internet users are available. And there's three new features. Translate instantly, read and write any language. And what's the other one? Text to speech. So when translating into English, you can now hear translations in spoken form by clicking the speaker icon. So that's pretty cool. For those of you that are not English speakers, you can actually hear the English translation spoken to you. So I have this cool new features on the translate stuff. All right. You know, one thing that I, at this point, that I don't like about Chrome is that there are some extensions out there, but when I tried to load some extensions on my version of Chrome, they wouldn't load, and I guess my 64-bit version and whatever rev I have does not work with extensions. But there's some indication out that Google is preparing to launch a Google extension gallery, which is good. So this is apparently an impending launch of a theme gallery and also an extension gallery. So we'll see what happens here with this. And they feel that this is getting real close. So I'm hoping that extension gallery gets launched and we'll be able to add stuff onto Chrome. And it actually may give me an excuse to, near I say it, stay on Chrome instead of Firefox. Find this article over at downloadsquad.com. Okay, let me go ahead and get into the last couple of articles. 15 great Google Chrome extensions. I have that linked up to you in the show notes. Also, more rumor about the Apple tablet coming, and that there may be yet an announcement this year, so we'll see on that. Windows Mobile, boy, oh boy, it's a sinking ship, folks. It's lost nearly a third of its market share here. Windows Mobile lost 28% of its... I hate these pop-ups. They just pop up when you're scrolling across the screen. It drives me nuts. Windows Mobile lost 20% of its smartphone market share between last year's third quarter and this year's third quarter. So that's huge in a year. And, of course, we know who's to blame for that. Big news on the Apple side. Of course, Apple has won a landmark victory against Mac clone maker SciStar. And this is huge. The U.S. District Judge William Alsup ruled last Friday that SciStar had violated Apple's copyright when distributing Mac OS X with its machines, and that the company was also in violation of the anti-circumvention provisions in the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. As a result, the judge has dismissed SciStar's counterclaim and ruled in favor of Apple. And this is huge. They're done. They are done, done, done. Now, they're still in business. If you want to order your SciStar computer, you better do it now. because there's a few more things in the legal process, but the big gorilla in the room has just smashed SciStar. The Hackintosh community is still going to be moving forward, and Apple has a long way to shut that down. Matter of fact, a lot of, I hate to say it this way, but Mac fanboys came out and really was hammering on Jeffrey for his article at Geek News Central on this particular subject. I'll let you guys go over and read the commentary over there. But, you know, I'm a firm believer that the folks at Apple should be selling macOS 10 so I can install it on any computer I want. Now, I know people have disagreed with it in the past, but hey, it's a PC, right? If I can run Windows on a Mac, why can't I run Mac on a PC-based machine? You guys are saying you can. You just got to buy a Mac. So we'll see. But that's not going to stop the Hackintosh folks. And a little more articles on the SciStar loss. This is an interesting statement made by Viacom's top lawyer. He said that suing peer-to-peer users felt like terrorism. Michael Freikles, a Viacom's general counsel, told a group of Yale law students that he's a huge fan of fair use and he doesn't want to take down your YouTube mashups, and he has no plans to start suing peer-to-peer users in federal courts. And he does love DRM and the three strikes law, and he felt that when he was going out there and having to go after colleges and trying to get them to shut down peer-to-peer usage, he felt that to do this, it felt like terrorism. So it's kind of an interesting comment made by him, and that's kind of an odd way to put it, but I guess that's the way these guys feel. All right, if you have an iPhone and you have any type of musical skills, there's a app out there called Fortrack, and of course the name probably sums up its purpose. It's providing a slick-looking four-track recorder for the iPhone. So if you want to put down a track and then you want to record over the track with some more beats or whatever, you can do it. Four-track is a new iPhone app out there that's getting some good press. All right, that's the end of the regular content tonight. Let me go ahead and get right into voicemail so we don't run long. Geeknews@gmail.com. Geeknews@gmail.com. Voicemail hotline is +1-619-342-7365. Here comes the first one.
Hi, Todd. Joey in Atlanta. Just listening to Friday's podcast. You were talking about Netflix holding off for 30 days in return for getting the movies half price. I don't think that's a bad deal, but I seriously doubt they're going to pass that on the consumer for anything. It'd be nice to see that they maybe pass a little bit of that savings along and maybe try to attract in a few more customers. I don't currently use Netflix. I have in the past, but I would be definitely more willing to return to Netflix if they pass that along, what they're saving. Anyway, just my thoughts. Thanks for the show.
Hey, thanks for calling, and thanks for the comments on the Netflix decision. Yeah, it's going to be interesting seeing what develops there. But, if they pass on the savings, that'll be cool, but I don't know if that's their plan or not. I was playing with my Netflix queue to watch on my Roku, and I noticed that you can watch more of the movies on your computer than you can like on your Roku. Of course, everything's available to get via DVD, but it's essentially the brand new stuff. It's very hard to get in your instant queue to watch on a Roku. You can get more of the newer movies, again, right directly to your PC, but it is interesting on how they actually stack what you can watch and where. So we'll see what happens there. All right, the next voicemail is from one of our new regular callers now. Matter of fact, you've called so many times, I can't play all your voicemails, dude. So I'm taking one, and I appreciate the multiple calls, If you want to call every show, that's good, but I can't play all three of them. We'd be here another 15 minutes. Let me go ahead and play this, though, and new listener to the show.
Hey, Mr. Cochran. This is Vincent again.
Hey, aloha.
No, you don't always have to get us all excited to get comments, man. And I heard you speak about the security. The security I was talking about is when we go through airports is what I want to speak about.
Oh, okay.
I pretty much understand that Max, that's why I buy him for my family. But I was more into finding the iPhone, we can do that through MobileMe. But I wanted to hear more about the software that would be for my Mac.
That's
and
the security.
I think they call it LoJack, and I don't remember that system, that program. And is that the only one that's out there, man? Yeah, you do a good podcast. You do a very good podcast, though, man.
Hey, Vince, I think the program you're looking for is LoJack. I think that's the one you want, dude. I think you're good to go if you go with that. Maybe the Mac users are going to tell me different. Maybe LoJack isn't the one to use, but I think that's pretty popular. Now, there's some other ones out there. I don't ever, you know, I very rarely travel with my Macs, so I don't have any of that loaded on any of them. But I know some of our listeners do, and there's probably a variety of programs out there that will essentially protect your Mac and call home if it's, or you can get in touch with it if it's been stolen and it gets up on the internet. So I'm sure we're going to get some response to that. So thanks for calling, and we'll get you some more details, okay? Very, very cool. All right, let me go ahead and get into the comments here. Got an email from Timothy, and he said, hey, my review of the movie 2012, my thoughts about the Mayan predictions, and he gave me a link to that. So if any of you, again, this may have some spoilers in it, folks, so if you don't want to read this article, don't go to the link I'm going to provide for you. Got an email from Andrew, longtime listener of the show, Andrew Darlow out in Jersey. He said, hey, Todd, I just saw this and thought it was pretty cool. This is a link to Samsung's website. It's a new Samsung dual view digital cameras, has dual screens. And Andrew, that thing's awesome. Absolutely awesome. Oh, and on the last show, we actually asked the viewers whether or not they knew what I was holding up to the screen at the end of the video. And Richard, many people submitted stuff, but I'm going to give the prize tonight to Richard of Aurora, Colorado. You're right. It was a coconut that had been shelled out, had a zipper put on it, and it was handed out by Cisco. Basically, those of you that even took the time to look at it, and I've got it back here behind me, is it was a coconut cut in half. They took all the guts out of it. Then they taped in or glued in a zipper and then stamped Cisco on it and put swag inside it. So it was like this little carrying device. So, Richard, you are the winner of a $50 PayPal payment. Congratulations on that. And on the next show, we'll have another giveaway on the video side. So I have something cool for you guys to check out for video portion. So if you haven't checked out the video show, consider doing that. And from time to time, we'll be giving away prizes specifically for the video audience. Of course, don't worry, audio audience. I'm not going to forget about you. We'll be coming back and doing some promotions. And then we're getting ready for Christmas here. So I've got some stuff that came in from vendors this year. We're going to start giving away some early Christmas presents as well on the show. So you definitely want to tune in. Okay, of course, congratulations to Richard on that. Got an email from Nier. He said, hey, Todd, I'm not sure you received my previous email regarding WorldMate. At least I did not hear you mention any latest podcast. Since you do a lot of air travel these days, a must-have application that I highly recommend is WorldMate at worldmate.com. It's probably the best business travel application that's out there. It keeps tabs of your schedules, flights, flight delays, warns of changes, suggests alternatives in case of delays or cancellations, hotels, etc. All on your BlackBerry, iPhone, and numerous other mobile handsets. As I mentioned before, I know the people behind WorldMate Company, but I'm not social with them, nor I'm being compensated by them for mentioning the app to your show. That comes in two flavors, freemium or gold. I would recommend that you try it out. I'm very confident you'll be impressed. All the best, and thanks for showing Nir. Nir's out of he's a listener out of Israel. And Nir, thanks for that. Appreciate it. Got an email from Jay. Say, hey, Todd, I haven't heard anything and was wondering if you announced anything on your podcast. Thanks again for everything. And what was this about? Okay. Jay is looking for a job. Jay is a podcaster over at techpodcast.com. He lives in Albuquerque. So, Sam, maybe you can help Jay out. He says, I'm looking for a web design / graphic design position. I have over 10 years of web-related experience designing sites for Reader's Digest, QSP in New Mexico, as well as a number of church ministries, nonprofits. I've experienced with Dreamweaver and PrintShop Pro and know HTML, JavaScript, CSS, and PHP. I work extensively with WordPress and experience in site promotion, SEO, and new media such as Twitter, Facebook, and podcasting. I'm proficient on both Windows and Linux systems and know a wide range of programs, including Microsoft Word, Excel, Lotus, OpenOffice, Outlook, WordPerfect, and many, many more. He's got a telephone number. It's area code 505-750-3121. This goes to his Google Voice. His name's Jay Forrest, and he lives in Albuquerque. Again, he's looking for work in the web design / graphic design position. He has over 10 years of web-related experience. And if you think you may have an opportunity for Jay, let him know. Hey, if you're out of work right now, and you're looking for a job, email me here at geeknews@gmail.com. We'll read your short resume on the show and see if we can find anything out for you. Again, Jay's telephone number again is 505-750-3121. See if you can help out Jay with a job interview, and see if we can get him back in work. Got an email from Frank. He says, hey, listen to your new podcast, We're Running Errands. I find the negative responses to your blog close deplorable. I heard a quote today from the late Senator Moynihan, which I think is relevant. I'm quoting from memory, so I may miss a word, but I have the gist. Everyone is entitled to his own opinion. Everyone is not entitled to their own facts. If they don't like the facts, that is their problem, not yours. And and swear word deleted, grammar flames are lame. If they flamed your grammar, it is because they could not flame your facts. So probably true. I don't know. We'll see. Thanks, Frank. That's actually a press release thing. That's it. That's all I got for tonight, folks. And we will try to... Oh, Podcast Madness. Jeffrey, give me the website again. Is it podcastmadness.com? And I need to actually get my... I don't even know where my promo code is. I need to put it in the, on the next show. Hopefully it isn't too late. I'll be announcing a promotion for Podcast Madness and give you guys a chance to win something. So I'll do it in the beginning of the next show. I didn't have it written in the show notes tonight. Shoot, forgot. But I'll be giving you a promo code to use. Listen at the very beginning of the next show, and I'll have that out, and you get a chance to win some cool prize on a promotion we got going on this month. But I guess that's it. Geeknews@gmail.com. The voicemail hotline is +1 619-342-7365. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out, and thanks for me dealing with this, switching around with the video and stuff. We'll get that worked out. And everyone take care. We'll see you next time. Aloha.